Hello, Chatterbox listeners. It's Matthew here. And this month on High Ash Farm, swifts, bluebells, and a caterpillar with a rather formidable defence system. First, though, an early start for farmer Chris Skinner and the many swallows who've made the long migration from South Africa to nest once again at High Ash Farm near Norwich.
Morning, everybody. It's exactly 5 o'clock in the morning. And I've just walked down the farmyard because we now have 21 swallows who've returned. And I'm standing in the old stable block. And one of the horses is nibbling my shoulder this morning. She's called Betty. And I've got swallows all round me, so hope, apart from the munching of the horses finishing their hay off, you can hear a swallow doing its dawn chorus. It's barely light in the stables. Right outside the stable door is a giant old oak tree, right in the middle of the farmyard, and high up in the branches, blackbird. Lots of lesser black-backed gulls flying over from the coast. Probably Breydon Water, heading further inland, hoping to meet up with some farmer tilling some soil and providing worms for breakfast. Just come back in the stables, a couple of steps. See if we can hear some more of that wonderful swallow. Yes, it's dawn chorus time. Middle of April to the middle of May, and it's always worth just opening the bedroom window if you don't fancy an early morning walk. Enjoying what nature gives us for free. Dawn chorus. I've stolen away from the farm just for a couple of hours, due southwards to the seaside. And to explain where I am, I'm right on the east coast, very close to the most easterly point of the UK, which is Ness Point, which is only a mile or so away from me, to my right. And if I step down onto the shingle bank on the beach, there we are. I can look northwards and I can see in the way distance Sizewell nuclear plant down there about 3 miles away from me. And just this side of that, I can see fishing boats just coming in, landing the morning catch. A whole trail of gulls following them as the fishermen dress out the fish ready to be landed on the shore. And we have one of my Suffolk correspondents to thank for this morning. Michael Fairburn has told me that some special birds have arrived here, and it's what I love to do, just celebrate the early arrivals and what's happening at this time of the year. The swallows are darting round me. Whew, that was a steep climb. Just come to the top of the bank now, and there's a small road and I'm crossing the small road. Morning! Then in front of me, leaving the sea behind, a fantastic sight of marshland, reed beds. I've already heard my first cuckoo, first one of the year here at Alderborough, and down the steep bank the other side, oh, mute swan flying towards me, about 200 yards away. A huge area of marshland as far as the eye can see. There's a big sign up outside the town saying Alderborough is welcoming the swifts. And they go to special measures here to help them because a lot of the old roofs have been sealed so the swifts can't nest under the tiles. That's the only time they really come to ground to nest, obviously. They sleep on the wing, they mate on the wing, they drink on the wing, and they feed on the wing, sort of aerial plankton, like the swallows, like the house martins, sand martins as well. But they're not related to those other three species, which surprises everybody. They're more closely related, wait for it, to hummingbirds, part of their history. So a lot of information that we've learnt in recent decades about swifts, that they'll migrate up from the sort of Central African region, sort of around the Congo. They'll spend our winter down there, bearing in mind that we don't have the flying insects during the summer months up in the UK. It goes very quiet, so they leave. And they're about the one of the last migrants to arrive. And surprisingly, 16 weeks, mid-August, they generally have departed. So they've only time to bring off this one nest attempt. Little roundish white eggs, usually under roof tiles, if they're available. And here at Alderborough, on many of the older buildings, this is why Alderborough's special. They've put up lots and lots of nest boxes, so congratulations. Swifts fly into the little hole from underneath, and when they leave the nest, they just drop down and start flying. Sometimes young swifts get grounded when they leave the nest. They get a bit stunned on the ground, and they sometimes need a help to loft them back, but quite often they'll take off by themselves, and adults can take off without help, although the wings need to go beneath the body angle to get the lift off, because the wings are designed in such a way that they get lots of forward thrust. It's one of the fastest level flying birds in the world, sort of 50-60 miles an hour flying in the straight, whereas obviously birds like peregrines, when they stoop, can double that speed. But on level flight, the swift is the king, really, for such a small bird. Weighs about the same size as a sort of cream egg, to give you an idea, about 40 grams, so quite small birds, but quite a bit heavier than a swallow. The swift is one of my favourites. It really kind of symbolises summer. In fact, it's here really just for our short season of summer. And just looking across at the sky, it's perfect blue sky. There's hardly a breath of air. And it's superb sort of feeding time for the swifts as all these black flies, St. George's Day flies, come off the Alexanders and form this aerial plankton, which I'm sure over the next few days, as other swifts arrive, they'll be feasting on. And I've been rewarded already. The cattle have done the trick. Must be stirring up lots of flying insects, and I haven't seen a swift. 25 swifts feeding communally over the top of me, about 200 feet up. I'm going to just have to, excuse me, lay on my back because it's the only way you can see them properly. Here we go. Blue sky. Dark, sickle-like birds just hardly flicking their wings and moving around a couple of hundred feet at least up above, just hoovering up the aerial plankton. And that's what they do. They love feeding together. They also like nesting quite close together as well, a bit like my high sparrows back at the farm. And there's some amazing footage. I think it's taken by Marconi Limited. They were down on the south coast with the radar, and it was pointing northwards towards London, and they got a wonderful kind of blip, which some birds cause on radar when you have enough of them. And it recorded swifts flying up in the early evening from North London, and the swifts sort of came up almost simultaneously, lots of them together, enough to cause quite a large blip on the radar, and they flew due north and fed overnight about 120 miles north of North London over the Wash, where there was a high and a low, a sort of front that mixed up the insects and took them up quite high. The swifts fed at about close to 3,000 metres up, which is 10,000 feet. And then at dawn, they just all returned. And that sort of starts to reveal the marvels of this particular bird, which has always fascinated me. And even the chicks in the nest, because they've come to our country for between 12 and 16 weeks to do one nesting attempt. And even the young are quite amazing, because, you know, in the UK, it's lovely and sunny and warm here at the moment. It's up to about 23 Celsius today already. The chicks, obviously, if the weather is really poor and you have one of these cold fronts coming over, there's no flying insects. So the adult swifts, the parents, fly around the back of the front, if that makes sense, and probably go over to northern France while the weather's bad, and then they return. Normally, most birds, the chicks would all be dead, but swift chicks, trick number one, they can go into something called torpor. Their nest is hardly a nest at all, nothing to keep them warm. Their respiration goes right down, really low, and their metabolism as well. And they're able to survive a couple of days without being fed by the parents. Truly amazing. And once they start to get a decent size, about 8 to 10 days before they actually fledge and leave the nest, they actually do press-ups, not with their arms, because they haven't got any, but with their wings to kind of strengthen them, because the moment they leave that nest box or wherever the nest is, they've got to fly from the word go. But there we are. I'm being absolutely spoilt. Just stunning for me. And the sight above me, they're still whirring round, just this sick black sickle shape in the sky above me. Lots of them. How they don't crash into each other, I don't know. But they've arrived en masse at Aldeburgh.